From the Cinderella stories to the teams keeping your bracket all chalk, it's time to talk tourney. This is Bracket Breakdown, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's Craig Karmazin and David Gruber.
This is Bracket Breakdown, unless Aaron Rodgers does anything, with you for the next hour. Good afternoon, David, and I know this is pretty much your happiest time of the year, March Madness. How are you doing, David?
I'm good, Craig. How are you?
I'm good, and we are happy that your technology skills have just gotten taken to another level. You sound like you are right here with me in the One Call That's All studios. So we are doing good and ready to dive right into it. And I just don't think we could have imagined what we were going to be talking about. The last segment today, we should make a prediction of what we'll be talking about a year from now. Because if you had told me that Marquette losing all the guys they were going to lose after last year, three of the top four scorers would be Big East regular season and postseason champions, number two seed in the NCAA tournament, that the Badgers would not be in the tournament. And as crazy as it sounds, the Milwaukee Panthers may have made a more aggressive run to the NCAA tournament in the month of March than the Badgers did. So a wild scenario for the state of Wisconsin teams, but really an incredible, incredible story. What Tyler Kolek, Cam Jones, Shaka Smart, and the entire Marquette Golden Eagles team has accomplished this year.
The whole thing's pretty amazing. I have a hunch that we're going to be jumping around a little bit in the next hour. It was funny because 5 minutes ago, as I was listening to Jason, breaking news for the Packers, and I'm ready. And he talks about the Nixon signing. So that's funny as heck.
Yeah, not as big as the other news that could derail us in the next hour. But when you looked at Marquette coming into this year, I mean, is there any way you saw this coming? And I mean, this is the AP final poll just came out. And they got jumped by Texas, but they jumped UCLA. I mean, this is the number six team in the country to finish the season.
Well, let's see. They're preseason number nine. And I believe that's the coaches in their league. I mean, who's going to think Kolek is going to be the player of the year in the league, the player of the year in the tournament? And I assume Shaka should get the coach of the year nationally. I imagine that's going to be competitive, but it's a remarkable story. And I believe every kid on their team has like two more years of eligibility.
Yeah. I mean, the thing you just never know these days, right, with the transfer portal and all that, is what's it going to take to keep these kids. But for right now, what we know is that Shaka Smart has them bought into what he's doing. And we're going to talk about it because I think this team, you know, has a nice little setup to make a run. So it's incredible, by the way. Everybody on ESPN had them playing Duke in the finals of that regional. So I'm guessing you're going to as well, is my gut. But I haven't seen your brackets. I haven't seen anything. Okay. We watch a lot of games together. You know that I've become recently a passionate Mountain West fan. So I may watch some games you don't. And it may be based on what states I'm in that have legal gambling. So I have some unique insights into some teams. But let's jump right into it. Let's jump into the South region. Always a hotbed of information that you have because of your SEC knowledge. And it starts with the number one overall team in the entire tournament, which is Alabama. Well, obviously, the Jamia Harris murder has cast a huge shadow on their entire season. But this seems like a team that, regardless of all the stuff going around them, you know, just kept winning basketball games and has seemingly the best player in college basketball.
Well, I do believe Brandon Williams is the best player in college basketball. They seem to have rallied around this very ridiculously unfortunate situation. They're playing well. They're very deep. I do like their draw. They may have to look out for a very talented Arizona team.
Well, so let's jump right into their Sweet 16 matchup, because this is the bracket breakdown. I have them to get to the Sweet 16. They're going to have to get past Bobby Huggins and West Virginia, who Huggins has been tough. But if you look at those games, most of those games have been at West Virginia, most of their big wins this year. So I think that game may be tough, but I think Alabama definitely gets by West Virginia there.
Yeah, I do have West Virginia beating Maryland. I think Maryland's a sleeper team, but I do like West Virginia. And I think Alabama has a little bit more firepower than West Virginia. That's what's going to come to. It's going to be a hard-fought game, but I do like Alabama in that game.
Now, on the bottom of that bracket, my viewing habits recently. I love Utah State. I love Stephen Ashworth. He's got almost unlimited range. The kid can shoot from anywhere. And I think they beat Missouri in that 10-7 matchup. But I don't know. Arizona, to me, is just a bad matchup for them. Arizona lost those guys to the NBA last year, but they've reloaded. They just beat UCLA in a tight Pac-12 championship. I think Arizona gets Utah State there. And yeah, as you said it, I look all the way ahead, and this is the only region where I actually have the one playing the two in the championship of the regional. I have Bama and Arizona going all the way to the end. Anyone else you see who could beat one of those two teams?
No, it is a popular pick, Utah State over Missouri. I, interestingly enough, went with Missouri because I saw him a lot. I've seen him been very good and very bad. They got a great – Gates is a rookie coach from the Horizon League. But I fell out of love with Creighton. I fell out of love with Baylor. So I thought Arizona was the most talented team in America at the beginning of the year.
By the way, I didn't pick them, and I didn't pick any 14 seeds. If you told me I had to pick a 14 seed, I would have gone Santa Barbara over Baylor. I'm not going to pick them. I'm not going to pick any 14s. But I don't like Baylor.
No, it's interesting because popular. I did pick Charleston. You know why? They won 31 games. They play up and down, and I'm not that familiar with San Diego State, but I don't believe that Furman could beat Virginia.
Those 5-12s are tough, and I'm never going to argue the 12s on those. But I like San Diego State. Matt Bradley is just like just a veteran kid who knows how to play. And They got through that Mountain West, which was a tough league, and they've been winning, and they've lost twice this year, I think, something like that. I mean, I like San Diego State a lot. I don't think they can go and beat Arizona, but I have San Diego State, getting to that Elite Eight. Oh, and losing to Alabama actually on that side of it.
But again, to close this side, I think the talent difference with Arizona and Alabama a little bit head and shoulders above the rest, although Baylor people may tend to disagree, but I'm not sold on Baylor at all.
Well, Baylor's just got the one kid who can compete at that level, right? He's a freshman. He's a one and done. He's right. A lottery pick. You know, Keontae George, his name, right? Well,
not forget, part of the early run by Marquette was the destruction of Baylor, Spicer.
Yep. Yeah. All right. We got Alabama versus Arizona. I feel like you're going to stick to your SEC roots here, and you're going to go with Alabama in this one to come out of the South.
You are incorrect.
Oh!
I believe Arizona is the most talented team in the country. with bigs who could really, really, really run the court. So I have Arizona.
As do I. Alabama. I also have Arizona. I mean, they just, I mean, they have two centers who just dominated UCLA in the paint. And I think UCLA is a team that's built to win this tournament. And I absolutely love Arizona, too. So we both have our South region, Arizona, the 2 seed, over Alabama, the 1 seed. And that is, I guarantee you, that is the last region that we will have matching. I can't imagine. There's a chance in the West. There's a small chance in the West that we could end up with the same final teams there. So, but let's just get it documented. So your big upset there in that one is the 12. So you like Charleston over San Diego State. I like the 10 seed, which is not much of an upset, in Utah State over Missouri. And then I guess the other, kind of upset, I have San Diego State over Virginia, but they end up getting knocked out by Alabama in the Sweet 16. There is your South region. Can we jump right to the East? Can we stay with us? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna jump right to the East, where you have a Big Ten team in Purdue as the 1 seed that I think everybody has pretty much already eliminated them. Right? Like when I was watching all the shows, I don't think anybody had Purdue. Not only did no one have them in the Final Four, no one had them in the Elite Eight. And by the way, I don't either. I look at Purdue. They were 4-4 going in their last 8 games going into the Big Ten tourney. They're not a great shooting team. They turn the ball over a lot. But I don't know, David, am I getting caught in that whole, like, it's the Big Ten, well, and teams start to know each other,
you know,
and teams aren't going to be ready to see their
big guy? At the
beginning
of the season, I agree with you. Brandon Williams is the best player in college basketball, but I think Edie by far is the most dominant player in college basketball.
Brandon Miller, right?
I have, Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
I have Purdue beating Duke. Everyone has jumped, starting and ending with Jay Billis. Everyone has jumped on the Duke bandwagon. They've won 9 in a row. They got, 2 7-footers. They're playing great defense, and it's Duke. Everybody likes John Shire. But I have, Memphis is good. I thought Memphis was going to lose to Florida Atlantic before yesterday. But
well, I think Memphis is good. I have Memphis all the way to my Elite Eight. So you're not going to get an argument with me on Memphis. I absolutely love Memphis and think they're going to do some things in the tournament. But here is my pick of the tourney. And I've not seen this one too much because, as we said, everybody's picking Duke. I have Oral Roberts over Duke in the first round. I think Duke, everyone's so high on them. I understand they're healthier than they've been throughout this season, but I think the best player on the court in that Oral Roberts Duke game will be on Oral Roberts. And he is tournament tested. And I believe Oral Roberts beats Duke in this game.
Wow. Duke is the darling of the media, right? For sure.
Right? I mean, and they're not like a tournament tested unit. So I just don't think, like, the idea that you wipe out a team like Oral Roberts, who basically is better than the team that 2 years ago beat Ohio State and Florida in the tournament. Remember, they went on a run, and Max Abmas, he was there then. This is the same best player on the team. I'm telling you, it's no guarantee, it's no lock, but I just think everyone is discounting in this bracket, because everyone's crowning Duke. I really see Oral Roberts with the chance to win. And as I said, I see this bracket just being an absolute mess because I see Memphis getting all the way, because I have Tennessee, who's not a you know, they're just so gifted defensively, and you know, they're missing their point guard because of the injury. So I think they then beat Oral Roberts because they're so good defensively. Then I think Memphis beats Tennessee in an in-state interesting matchup to go to the you know, to go to the Elite Eight. And then on the other side of the bracket, you know, I like you know, I like Providence to pull a little 11-6 upset at the beginning. But then I like Marquette, and I like Marquette over Kansas State. Kansas State's good, by the way. I really like Kansas State.
You know, the thing about that every game is a war. I mean, first of all, I like Kentucky. I think Kentucky's playing by far its best basketball of the year. They were lousy in the season. I like Kentucky over Kansas State. I like Kentucky over Kansas State. I assume we'll move on to talking about Marquette momentarily, but to finish your thought earlier on, I see Purdue battling Duke, and I'm going to pick Purdue. The interesting thing is, I agreed with you. I think the older teams do better. The more experienced team, like we were talking about the kid from Oral Roberts. Can't forget the more experienced guy. And it comes down to coaches, too, because there's going to be some. I mean, are we going to have like a first-year coach in Shire? And when we move to the Midwest, when we talk about some teams, you're going to have a rookie coach perhaps going very far there?
Well, so, that's what I don't.
I guess
I'm
we
not
could transition
sold.
To Marquette.
Yeah, that's why that is part of why I'm not sold. And when I look at that region, by the way, I thought Memphis was so impressive against Houston, and Memphis is, I don't see why they're not, you know, seen as a, if they play Purdue, I think that game, the point spread on that game may only be a point and a half, 2 points. Like I think that's going to be a very even matchup.
I think that would be a really tough game, and I think you'll probably see Edie shoot 15 foul shots in that game. The key to Purdue is going to be if they're young. They're young lawyers. They were up. Purdue was up, 17 points yesterday versus Penn State? And the guards collapsed against the pressure. They won by two.
There was so much
of
that,
by the
way.
Right now.
So much of that in conference tournament play, just weak guard play, inability to break presses, terrible free throw shooting on the front ends of one and ones. I mean, this could be a very interesting tournament if those trends continue, because no lead is safe. Let's talk about the bottom of that bracket. Let's talk about Marquette and how we see them flying through that Eastern Regional as we continue. It is our bracket breakdown. Still no update on Aaron Rodgers. Still with David Gruber from the One Call That's All Studios. It is Craig Karmazin with you. Until one, it is Bracket Breakdown on ESPN Milwaukee and the Wisconsin On Demand app. With David Gruber, I am Craig Harms at 94.5 ESPN and the Wisconsin On Demand app. David, I know when you saw Elton Jenkins tweet those two emojis, you were a little worried, but I believe that was just in reaction to $21 million a year for Lindstrom, the guard from the Atlanta Falcons. We are keeping up to date on everything going on in Aaron Rodgers' world and with the Packers, but right now it is time to continue talking about the brackets, and we have gotten to Marquette. We have gotten to the bottom of the East. David, let's start with Vermont. They are a 15 seed. I know are they the Catamounts? What are they? Or is that New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think they are. They're so solid. They dominated their league for so long with different players. It's a tremendous program, but it is a different level, and I don't think they have a solid shot against a team like Marquette that's so connected, so athletic, playing so well. I just, I, I think they're going to show up. I think they're going to play hard for a while, but it's a 40-minute game, so that's it.
Well, the two interesting things I'll tell you about them to remember. 7 consecutive years, a Vermont player has won the Conference Player of the Year in the American East. This year is a guy who transferred from San Diego. So that's a guy named Finn Sullivan. Second thing is they commit commit turnovers on only 11.6% of their possessions. So they do not turn the ball over. So Marquette's going to need to get their half-court offense going. I think they will enough to advance. I do agree. I think this one will be a little tougher, but I think they get it done. So then, David, will we see a Hauser against Marquette, or will we see a USC in Marquette? What do you got in that second round matchup?
Well, as an unapologetic Marquette fan, I'd like to see USC play, but I've seen him play this year, and Izzo, 25 years straight in the tournament? Is that what I saw the other day? Izzo's as good a tournament coach that exists in this entire tournament right now, so I think Izzo wills his guys to a 2-3-4-point victory over SC.
That's kind of what I think. I wouldn't even be surprised if USC got out to a big lead or whatever happens that somehow Michigan State finds a way to advance. But they're not a very good shooting team, right? Like, and this isn't one of his most talented teams that he's had. Again, nothing's easy in the tournament, but I do have Marquette defeating Michigan State on their way to the Sweet 16, which I believe you do as well.
I sure do.
All right. So now, in the Sweet 16, I have them running into Kansas State. I believe you have them running into Kentucky.
I do have them running in.
All right. So, Hat, break down. Kentucky. You've seen Kentucky as much as anyone. And you've seen Marquette as much as anyone. Break down Marquette, Kentucky, what you think happens there.
Kentucky's playing as well as they have all year on both ends of the court. They've had injury problems. You know, they have the returning player of the year. He's a monster. What's the correct pronunciation of the name? I've seen it pronounced like three different ways.
Yeah.
He gets 15 or 20 rebounds every game. He is going to be the issue, keeping him off the offensive boards. Without Marquette's big spelling, I have Marquette edging Kentucky in a pretty up tempo game.
See,
might not be high scoring.
Yep,
it could be.
I agree.
Maybe up tempo.
I agree, and I think they get by them. Yeah, Wheeler, Wallace, Frederick, like all those guys have been hurt for Kentucky. Like the whole Kentucky team, and they're deep, but they've had a lot of injuries. And, their center, who was the player of the year, I mean, he gets paid $2 million a year, right? I mean, this is, you're talking about a professional on the other side. Yeah. But, and you're talking about John Calipari. And I think this is, think about what that moment can be. Shaka Smart, as the 2 seed, to get to the Elite Eight, needs to go past potentially Tom Izzo and then get past John Calipari. Now, I don't think it's going to happen that way because I think Kansas State is, I just think Kansas State is an elite team who we've seen them beat Kansas. We've seen them beat just about anybody. And they
don't forget Kansas State's coaches in his first year there,
yep,
too.
That's Tang, the one thing I would say, he was from Baylor. And he's done a great job there. The one thing I will say is that they turn the ball over a lot, which I think is a good fit for Marquette. And that's why I think Marquette gets it done against Kansas State, as we both have them advancing to the Elite Eight. So now my matchup there is Marquette against 8-seeded Memphis, You have Marquette against Purdue, the one seed. So from the reigning National Player of the Year from Kentucky to a guy that some believe is the Player of the Year this year, Zach Edey from Purdue this year, how do you break down the one versus two that you have in the East?
Well, as I say, unbiased, and there's a very, very large laugh as I say that. Once again, I see Edey going to the foul line a lot. I think Marquette's overall depth is really going to be tested and needed. I am picking Marquette over Purdue because they win the backcourt with Kolick being so good and so special. More not cerebral, just special. So they have a very young backcourt, Purdue. And I think we're going to mix it up. I think Marquette pressures them a little bit. So I got Marquette on the line. Marquette on the line.
Well, I do as well. So we have our first two Final Four teams are matching because I have Marquette getting past number 8 Memphis there in what will be a really fun up-tempo game. You want to talk about, two teams that are just going to get after it. And I mean, what a fun game. Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers against Marquette would be. Memphis, another one of those teams who's, the only games they've lost pretty much this year were to Houston, and they avenged that loss. And so they play really, really, really fast, high tempo game. And I think Marquette would edge them in that game. So we both have Arizona and Marquette, the two seeds from both the South and the East. Every one of these tournaments the last 6-7 years has been won by a one seed. And we don't even have a one seed advancing to the Final Four yet. We will see on the back half of the bracket. Chris, we continue or we need to? All right. When we continue, we will get into the Midwest. The first half of that bracket, which features the Auburn Tigers and former Milwaukee Panther head coach Bruce Pearl. We will get into the Midwest region as we continue. We'll continue to keep you updated on everything going on in free agency. We know Javon Hargrove has signed a big deal with the 49ers, but nothing big for the Packers yet. We'll keep you up to date on that as well. As Bracket Breakdown continues from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios with David Gruber. I'm Craig Karmazin on 94.5 ESPN and the Wisconsin On Demand app.
Back to the Hoops Talk. It looks like in the division, the Lions have signed a corner from the Steelers, but nothing too big since the Chicago Bears rocked the NFC North with their big trade on Friday. We continue, though, breaking down our brackets, David, as we are through half of the tournament, and we have the same two number two seeds, Arizona and Marquette, in the Final Four. We'll see if either the two-seed theme or the theme of us picking the same teams continues as we go to the Midwest, where it's Houston, the one seed, and they are going to at some point run into the Auburn Tigers, coached by Bruce Pearl, who you are very close with, as we know. And many in the Milwaukee and Wisconsin area remember the incredible runs he had in the tournament. First losing to Notre Dame, then taking his team to the Sweet 16 before losing to Illinois. How far is this Auburn Tigers team going to go? They have Iowa, which I believe is a school that Bruce worked.
Yes. I was in Nashville watching Bruce lose on the last possession to a very talented Arkansas team a few days ago. I think I saw them either even or a 1-point favorite in the game. But I like Auburn in this game for a variety of reasons. A really close game. They got to get Iowa off the 3-point line. I think the craziest game I saw all year was that Iowa Michigan State game.
Yeah,
when Michigan State blew like a 20-something point lead. So Iowa could score fast. I don't know if they're physical enough. So I got Auburn in that one.
I do too. I think the SEC at the end of the day is a little bit of a tougher conference this year than the Big Ten. And I think that that helps Auburn in that. The one thing that's interesting is, Chris Murray has become a player, right? Like his brother's, high lottery pick. And he wasn't on my radar at least. And he has turned into an incredible player. And they have a great offense. They backed up that win against Michigan State. They went on the road and beat Indiana. And Iowa's been good, but I have Auburn not only beating Iowa, but I have them beating Houston as well. And maybe I'm drinking the Bruce Pearl Kool-Aid a little too much, and maybe it's that I have that Houston loss to Memphis in my mind too much. But I have Auburn once again falling at the hands of the University of Miami in the NCAA tournament.
Funny you have that scenario. Because that is exactly the scenario I have. I Samson, of course, for Houston is one of the greatest coaches in college ball. They're missing their absolute leader and point guard, Sasser. And it showed against Memphis yesterday. And
Sasser will probably
at the beginning of the year, I thought they were the hardest team to beat.
You would guess Sasser would
play.
Because
the way they play defense and defense travels. I hope it's a rock fight, a real rock fight, and that Auburn's able to prevail. But that is what I have. And then moving to the next step, was an eyewitness to Miami dismantling Auburn last year. And if I could whisper that, I do have Miami in my bracket beating they had a lot of NIL signings, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And Miami's not over the they're not over the salary cap yet. So I do have Miami edging Auburn in my bracket, but not in my heart.
I agree with you in both my heart and my bracket. By the way, I do have Kent State in the first round. So that's my highest seeded team. Or lowest, however you consider it, to win a game, 13-seeded Kent State to upset Indiana in the first round. For me, Trace Jackson Davis is awesome, but I don't think Indiana's offense or defense is that good, and that just feels like the type of team to me that can lose to a MAC-type team. So I like Kent State to upset Indiana, but then I do have Miami rolling all the way to the Elite Eight, where I have them running into, I told you this region gets a little wacky. I have them running into Buzz Williams and the Texas A&M squad, who despite they can't shoot at all, but I love them. I really like this Texas A&M team, who, by the way, I have them beating in the Sweet 16. Your guy, TJ Otzelberger, local Wisconsin guy, who's been so streaky. So I have a 7-6 in that Sweet 16. I have A&M beating Iowa State and then beating the University of Miami and Buzz Williams to the Final Four. That's right. Not only do I have Marquette to the Final Four, but I have Buzz Williams and the 7th-seeded Texas A&M going to the Final Four.
Well, it's funny. You keep mentioning these Wisconsin connection coaches, and we talked in detail about Bruce and Buzz. I turn on the TV and I'm watching Tom Crean and Wojo, and then Bruce Weber's on the other stage, and Nate Oates is coaching Bam, and it's impressive. It's impressive. I'm half expecting to see Kevin O'Neill on something, but I'll tell you what I think about Buzz. He had a remarkable, remarkable year. And I believe they're undefeated. But I have Texas A&M edging Penn State. Penn State plays so hard at the end of the year. But I have Texas A&M losing to Texas.
Yeah, and that's obviously Texas is the sexy pick in the Midwest region. So do you have Texas beating Miami to go to the Final Four?
That's exactly what I have. I do have Texas beating Iowa State first.
Yep.
I do like, you know, I have Texas beating Iowa State. But I have Texas beating Miami to go to the Final Four, correct?
So that is our first difference there, as I have the last year snubbed Texas A&M team that ended up going to the NIT Finals where they lost to Xavier. And then this year, the underseeded Texas A&M. I just feel like Buzz Williams has one big NCAA tournament run in him. And I have no idea if it's this year. I just don't want to miss picking it when he does. I feel Buzz will be in a Final Four, and I'm going to pick it this year because I don't know if it's this year, but it will be at some point where just his style, his way of doing things will get a team to the Final Four.
Craig, they truly were the second best team the whole year behind Alabama. The SEC. And I thought a lot of it was style, the trapping, the pressing, the double teaming. But as I saw them more and more, his players are really, really good. So,
they don't shoot that well. They don't shoot that well, but they're really good. Like they're a good basketball team. They play good defense. I think they can beat Texas. I watched that Texas Kansas game and, you know, and
they play Buzz Williams basketball. They crash the boards. They bang. And it's like a little like a light version of early Georgetown. They foul so hard and so much and so early that by the end of the game, the ref can't call everything. And it's you know, and it becomes advantageous at the end of the game.
So David has a two seed in the Final Four. We'll get to our fourth region and get through our Final Four matchups in our final segment as Bracket Breakdown continues. We'll also keep you updated on anything going on in the NFL right here on 94.5 ESPN and the Wisconsin On Demand app. We need some tournament music here, or at least by the end of this segment, we'll get some tournament music back, David, because it is March Madness. It is NCAA Tournament Week from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios. Craig Carms and David Gruber, and it is our final region. Will David go with all twos? Will he add UCLA to his three other two seeds, and will he have a Final Four of all two seeds? We'll find out. I will tell you that I have a 12 seed of VCU advancing in the first round. And there's always one double digit seed that makes the Sweet 16. And maybe this is a little cheating, but I'm going to go with the ASU Nevada winner as my my team to the Sweet 16. And I'm not sure exactly which team it's going to be, but whichever one it is, I like to beat Gonzaga. I don't think the Zags are as talented as they've been in recent years. They don't play great defense. They don't have the elite, like, NBA-type players. Your guy Drew Timmy's still there, but I could see the Zags losing in the second round. So, first, any early thoughts on that Western region?
Yeah, this is my upset region. I've got Illinois beating Arkansas. I thought Illinois was going to be much better at the beginning of the year. I'm jumping on the bandwagon with VCU. I'm not that familiar, but I think St. Mary's plays a little slow. They got a freshman point guard who can be guarded. I realize it's fascinating. We'll talk about Rick Pitino's. I own the team, but I guess he's going to end up in the Big East at St. John's. That's interesting, but he's not doing anything. And, as far as the early around.
By the way, I also have Boise over Northwestern, and again, I do too. Northwestern was not supposed to be good this year, so give Chris Collins a lot of credit after they lost their best player, goes to North Carolina. No one would have thought Northwestern would be in the tournament, North Carolina wouldn't. So a really good defensive team in Northwestern, but I've been watching, I told you, a lot of that conference out there. I like Boise. That's a tough conference and a tough team.
Yeah, so yeah, I got Kansas playing Illinois, BC playing UConn, and TCU playing Gonzaga. Boise playing UCLA. So yeah, we differ a little bit on that.
So let's jump to the end of it, because I have UConn upsetting Kansas and taking on UCLA in the Elite Eight there.
I do too.
I
have UConn playing UCLA to go to the Final Four.
Look at that. UConn, UCLA for the Final Four. And I do have my second Pac-12 team of UCLA and my second, my third two seed going to the Final Four. Are you going to make it a 4-for-4 of two seeds, or are you going to have UConn over UCLA?
I'm going with a Hurley, going with UConn, and I'm going with a team that was 14-0, number one in the country, and then I think lost like 5 out of 7 Big East games and has found their way. So I'm going with the UConn Husky.
And they looked really good. I mean, Marquette had to do everything. You know, Marquette could not score late, and they were able to shut down UConn, who I think if they played at a faster pace, probably would have beaten Marquette in that game. They were slowing it down, in my mind, a little unnecessarily there. They're a really strong team. But I am okay, so now you have UConn along with the rest of your two seeds. I'm going to have both Marquette and Buzz Williams falling in the Final Four, which sets up an all Pac-12 finals of Arizona and UCLA in my championship game. Who do you have?
I have Arizona.
So Arizona and UConn there, and then your champion is?
That's a damn good question. That's a damn good question. I keep looking at that. And the winner is UConn.
And I'm going to also go with a U. I'm going to go with UCLA avenging their loss against Arizona in that one possession Pac-12 championship game. So David has UConn over Arizona. I have UCLA over Arizona. With the 2 minutes or so we have left, let's look in our crystal ball and have our predictions. What happens next year for the state team? So what do you think happens 12 months from now when we're doing the show? What will we be saying about the Wisconsin Badgers and their 2023-2024 season?
I think the Badgers will be back. I think they'll continue to build on the program. I think that with the blip, I think they need a little bit more talent. I think they absolutely need more depth. But I believe they'll be back at a very, very solid team.
Yeah, I also think the Badgers are coached by Greg Gard next year, I'll say. I'll go on the record as the Greg Gard will still be their coach. And I'm going to go with them as when you look at it, it's tough. I'm going to go with them a solid year, but I'm going to go with them having an 8 seed next year. So they're going to be an 8 seeded team next year. How about Marquette? When we look back, you know, we both have them in the Final Four, so there'll be a big expectations coming into the year. I think they back it up with another strong season, and I have them next year as a 5 seed, which would be again continue as one of the elite programs in the country. To back up this year and be a 5 seed next year.
I think their massive success will enable them to build on things. I think the recruiting will be easier. I think support will be greater. I believe the national attention really helped them. And I think even the depth will be greater, and these kids will be a year older. So
is that a 1 seed for Marquette next year?
What?
Is that a 1 seed I hear for you for Marquette next year?
You know, it depends on the rest of the league. I think the league's very strong at the top.
Yeah, and what about Milwaukee Panthers, who had you talk about first-year coaches making an impact.
Lundy did an incredible job. He was a great hire. He's done a good job. He put together about 10 or 12 kids from all different directions, and they were playing as a cohesive unit. I think your arrow only points up for UW. But don't forget what's as important to anything for us, right, Craig? Bucks and six.
Yes, exactly.
Bucks
and six. And tonight against the Sacramento Kings, which is a massive test for the Bucks on the road. Big thanks to Chris Larson, to David Gruber, for all of you who've been part of it. It's Bracket Breakdown, 94.5 ESPN, and Wisconsin On Demand. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. And remember, keep it here for the latest in free agent frenzy to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Have a great day, everybody.